In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus tells his disciples that he will have to suffer, and that he will have to die, and that after 3 days he will rise again. That is what has just happened before we come to the part that we read this morning, the reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark. Because Peter, out of love and concern for Jesus, says, "Lord, surely this must not happen. You must not die." And Jesus' response is a strong rebuke, the strongest that he ever leveled toward his disciples. "Get thee behind me, Satan," he says to Peter. "You do not savor the things of God, but the things of this world." "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter loves the life in this world that Jesus has. Our bondage is to our love of this world and our love of ourselves, beginning with our concern for our own bodies, the self-love of our bodies, concern for the welfare of our physical selves in this dangerous world where suffering and death are present. But Jesus has come into the world in order to destroy that bondage. And he expects those who follow him, in fact, he knows that those who try to follow him will not be able to follow him and take the path that he is taking, the path of the cross, unless they savor the things of God, not the things of this world. There is no salvation by way of them. The blessed Theophylact says that what Jesus is saying to St. Peter is, "You question my following the cross, but I tell you, if you are going to save yourself, you must die for goodness and truth." That's the most direct way of putting it. If you are going to be saved, you must die for goodness and truth. As Jesus the Christ himself is dying for goodness and truth, savoring the things of God and not the things of this world. That is the only path of salvation for us. But it's not something, Theophylact points out, that Jesus imposes on us. It's something that we must desire, not choose because we are forced. We must choose the path of the cross because we savor the good things of God, goodness itself and truth, over the things of this world. Otherwise, we remain in bondage. We would not willingly be accepting the path of the death of that false self that loves the things of this world more than God. That's the reality of things. It even makes you think that the misinterpretation of the Christian faith that has been central to Western Christianity for so many centuries, the interpretation of the Christian faith as though our relationship to God were a legal relationship and salvation were a legal matter where we would be forced to accept Christ's sacrifice under penalty of death. I mean, the logic of the law would mean that unless we accept his free sacrifice, we are going ultimately to die because we are sinful, corrupt, and damned. There is a kind of force there to accept this saving sacrifice that, as a matter of fact, has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus' words to his apostles, where the choice to savor and love the things of God rather than the things of this world must be a choice. It's never imposed on them the way the law imposes a choice on us. We must love the things of God. We must savor them. That's the only possibility. Otherwise, why would we follow the better things of the true life that God is offering us the pathway toward? Oftentimes in our lives, we might realize that the things of this world are insufficient to fulfill us. We become disgruntled, don't feel like going anymore to work for the sake of the things that are necessary in order to keep body and soul together in this world. And we think, that is not a good way to think. I'd better turn on the television and watch something for an hour or so, or maybe until it's time to go to bed, and then that way in the morning I can get up having not confronted this insight into the fact that living life for the sake of the things of this world is not worth the trouble, not worth the effort. But what's the alternative to despair? How are we not going to despair of this life and even consider the possibility of ending this misery once we realize the truth? This life is not worth living for the sake of the things of this world. It is true. It's the truth. The only alternative is to be willing to die to the things of this world for the sake of the things of God. And that is the pathway of the cross. But it's not like we have to take it for the first time on our own. It's a path that God came into the world in order to take on our behalf, to make our lives a pathway of salvation, where we can live by loving the best, the most beautiful, and the most worthwhile things as the reason that we do the things that we do in the world. Not for their sake, but for the sake of the ultimate goodness, truth, and beauty, which is God Himself incarnate, making it possible for us to be like Him. A human being who is, in each unique case, living for the best, the most beautiful, the most pure, the most godly, and the holiest things of life. And knowing that in the end, nothing, no suffering, no death can prevail against the fact that that is the meaning of my life at one with Him who has already conquered the power of death, already eliminated the possibility that so long as we live our lives for the very highest things and savor the things of God, we cannot be overcome, because that battle has already been won by Christ. That's why Jesus says to Peter, who doesn't want him to go the way of the cross and to prepare this path for us, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you do not savor the things of God enough." And just after this, at the end of the passage that we read from the Gospel according to St. Mark, Jesus says to his disciples, his apostles, "There are those who are living today, right here, who will not die without seeing the coming of the glory of the kingdom of God." And there's been a lot of speculation about the meaning of that, Jesus having said that. It's really very peculiar that people would speculate, because in the very next verse, we see Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up the mountain where they experience his transfiguration. I know people like to take things out of context, but that is truly incredible. He says, there are people living right here, right now amongst us who will live to see the glory of the kingdom of God. He immediately takes them up to the mountain and he reveals himself transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and people don't get the point. Jesus has called us to follow him. Take up your cross and follow me. Live a life of virtue. Be transformed, be transfigured along with me. And he shows them himself transfigured. The one who is God incarnate, the Son of God incarnate. Theophylact says that there is no question that the transfiguration is a revelation before time, a prophecy of the end time, a foreshadowing of the second coming of Christ. When Jesus Christ will return in his glory, we hear all that. I don't know why we don't put this together. Where Jesus Christ will come, revealed in his glory, and all of the righteous, revealed in his glory, not theirs, but his, along with them. That's what Theophylact points out to us. And all of this has been accomplished because our Lord did not follow the fear of St. Peter for his sake, loving him and not wanting him to die. Death, when it is the death of the love of that which is other than God, making that which is lower the highest, the death of that small way of living, comes before the beginning of our Christian life. And the triumph of that life is assured. We come, we celebrate our lives as Christians. And yet how curious it is that we go into the world and we live lives as though he had no power, as though we had not been baptized to share his life, as though we savor the things of the world more than the things of God. Now, St. Peter, even after he came down from the mountain, went on and eventually, when at a time of his own choosing, Jesus was arrested, Peter denied his Lord three times. But in the end, he affirmed him out of his love of Jesus the Christ, the one who reveals all of the goodness of God, all of the goodness that God has created into our humanity revealed in Christ. How could he not love him? He simply feared the power of death. But in the end, his love of Christ overcame those fears. Jesus didn't go and offer himself immediately, come take my life. He avoided those who pursued him until the time was right. He did not let death take him until he had done all of the work that he needed to do in the world. No one who embraces death as an attempt to avoid the sufferings of life dies for Christ. He who lays down the life of the love of this world lays it down for me, Jesus the Christ. So we are offered not a kind of suicide of the old Adam. We are offered the possibility of laying down a life of despair that comes inevitably, that is born out of a love of the things of this world that confuses us within ourselves. We are offered the chance to lay down that false life and begin a new life of courage and faith in the true life that we share along with God. That is the Christian calling, to live that life, not cowering in fear and despair and backward looking, but in love and hope and faith and courage, fixed on the best things that all human beings recognize everywhere as the best things. And only out of fear do they not pursue them to the end. Theophylact says, all of us in the end will face a martyrdom of our own. None of us will escape at the end. It is not possible to live a life for the things of this world and survive. Death will be the result. There is not one exception. No way out by that door. Only by denying the things of this world is there escape. The martyrs don't fear death because they know that their life has already begun. But Theophylact says that those who live for the things of this world, although it may seem as though for the time being they have prevailed over the forces of death that try to control us, living lives devoted to the goods of the world and having plenty, it may seem for the time being that they have prevailed. But there is no way out for them because they have destroyed their faith in God by their love of the things of the world. And in the end, when we are tested, if we love the things of the world, we will fail in our martyrdom. Our martyrdom. The facing down of death at the end. Love of things of the world, no matter how much we have been able to gather of them, no matter how great our power and how important our name in the world, when that day comes, all that we will have done is to assure the fact that we will not have the courage that comes from only the love of God and the trampling down of death in this world as he did. That's the only way that we can have the courage to face death itself down at the end and pass through our martyrdom unscathed, living continuously the life that we were baptized into to share at one with the incarnate Son of God. So there are these two paths before us, the path of life and the path of death. And we are told, choose the path of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.